Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. They've got everything fixed, I think, at EFR Central. And I should be going out live right now. The last two shows had a glitch, and that was at the server. They go crazy every once in a while like we do, and they've got it fixed, so you can catch them on the reload and the rebroadcast. We're doing the best we can. It's just one of those deals, folks. You have to live with it. That's part of life. So we ended with chapter 23 yesterday, but I did not get a chance to do the chapter notes and the references. So these note references are going to be for chapter 23 of Exodus. By the way, this is Word for Word, and I'm Pastor Steve. I fail to self-promote. It's not about me, and I don't think about myself when I'm doing this. It's all about the Scriptures. And that's all I'm really concerned with. Who I am and what I am and all that stuff is irrelevant. I'm just a servant. That's what He teaches us to be. But let's go into the chapter 23 notes, and then I'll open up chapter 24, and we'll get to that. In verse 1 of chapter 23 of Exodus, your references are Exodus 20, verse 16, Leviticus 19, verses 11 and 12, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. And reference for verse 3 of chapter 23 is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. And in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 23, reference Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Verses 6 through 8 in chapter 23, reference Leviticus 19:15 and Deuteronomy 16:19. In verse 9 of chapter 23, reference Exodus 22:21, Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, and Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 17 and 18, and chapter 27, verse 19. Verse 10 through 12 is all about the Sabbath being kept. And just keep repeating all of that. So you can reference that in Leviticus 25, 1 through 7. Pardon me, I had to clear my throat. Verse 12 of chapter 23, reference Exodus, chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, and chapter 31, verse 15, and chapter 34, verse 21, and chapter 35, verse 2. And Leviticus 23, verse 3, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 13 and 14. Now in verse 13, we are warned that the names of the false gods are not to be remembered or spoken, but we have pagan names for the days of our week and the months of our year. And the holidays, the feast days, Christ Mass for a dead Christ, and he's not dead, he is arisen, is Yule for the beginning of the ascension of the sun god Mithra. And Ishtar Sunday is for the mother and consort of sun god Mithra. Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. So not only is she his mother, she's his lover. See how perverted that is? And hunting for eggs, symbols of fertility. Easter bunny, fertility. Bad stuff, man. Got to get away from it. Stop celebrating it. Verse 15 in chapter 23, you can reference Exodus chapter 12, verses 14 through 20. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 6 through 8. And number 28 of Numbers, chapter 28, verses 17 through 25. And if you're wondering what matzah is number 4682. That's unleavened bread. It's a flat cracker-like bread without leaven. They make flat bread out of it because it isn't going to rise. Verse 16. You can reference Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 21, and 39 through 43, and Numbers 28, 26 through 31. And in verse 18, if you were wondering what I was talking about when I said chametz, that's leaven or leavened bread. And you're supposed to have that out of your house. You're not supposed to have any leaven in your home during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you'll find leaven in toothpaste. You need to read the ingredients of what's in the products in your home. You're supposed to get all of that out of your home. There's a list somewhere on the internet. You can search for leaven and find it. I've got it somewhere, but I can't dig it out now. It's buried in my archives. But I pretty much know what's got it in it, and I don't buy that product. And if I have a loaf of bread here and it's three quarters gone, I'm not going to save it. I'm going to take it to the garbage chute and throw it down and get rid of it. And then sweep everything out and wipe out the cabinets that kept the bread in. I keep them in a plastic container, so it makes it easier for me to do that. I don't have any leaven products in my home during the Feast of Unleavened Bread after Passover. In verse 19 yesterday, we talked about not boiling a kid in its mother's milk. That has been perverted by the Jews, and the Jews say you're not allowed to have milk and meat in the same meal. Dairy products and meat, That's a rabbinic tradition invented by the followers of the Babylonian Talmud. That's one of many that they've come up with. Whew. But in verse 19, you can reference Exodus 34, verse 26, and Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21, and chapter 26, verse 2. Let's get to the next page here. And that's about it for the references. So we will begin today in chapter 24 of Exodus. And he's about to go up the mountain. Oh boy. And he's going to get the Torah when he goes up that mountain. That would be the tablets of stone. And he is going to be told all these laws, which is he is to relate to the people. Now, the 10 words were long and involved. They've shortened them, and the Catholic Church has removed the second commandment about idolatry because they are idol worshipers. And they've split one of the other commandments and substituted the split part of the commandment for that commandment to make 10 commandments. Because they say the Pope has the authority to do that. Okay. Whatever. Do what thou wilt. That's the whole of the law, says Satan. Who do they follow? He trumps Yahweh, I guess. At least in their eyes. Chapter 24, verse 1. And said he, capital H, speaking of Yahweh, to Moshe, come up to Yahweh, you and Aharon, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Verse 2. And Moshe alone shall come near Yahweh, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And came Moshe and told the people all the words of Yahweh and all the judgments, and answered all the people with one voice, and said, all the words which has said Yahweh we will do. And wrote Moshe all the words of Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar by the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And set he young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and slaughtered bulls as offerings of well-being unto Yahweh. Verse 6, and took Moshe half of the blood and put it in basins, that's 101, and half of the blood he sprinkled 2236 on the altar. So he was doing priestly duty because he was of that tribe. And he did that. Verse 7, and took he the scroll, 5612, of the covenant, 1285, and read it aloud, that's one word, kara, to call out, to read aloud, 7121, in the ears, 241, meaning in the hearing of the people. And said they, all that has said Yahweh, we will do, and we hear. And that means to hear and thus obey. Verse 8, and took Moshe the blood, the other half that he didn't sprinkle on the altar, and sprinkled it on the people, thus consecrating them, and said, behold the blood of the covenant, which Yahweh has made with you by all these words. Verse 9, then went up Moshe, Aharon, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Verse 10, now this is a vision that they're going to see how he presented himself. And they saw Elohe Israel, that means the divine being of Israel, and there was under his feet as if it was a paved 3840 work 4639 of sapphire stones, 5601 saphir, and that's a Hebrew word that has gotten into English. Saphir is now sapphire. And as it was the substance, 6106 of the sky, 8064 in brightness, 2892. And he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles, 678, of the children of Israel, and they saw, 2372, Elohim, the divine being, and they ate and drank. He showed them an image in a vision, not physical presence, as he did with Moshe. And when he says he didn't stretch out his hand, in other words, he did not smite them for being up there because he had told them to come up so far, partway up the mountain. And now in verse 12, and said Yahweh to Moshe, and only to Moshe, come up to me in the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets, 3871, of stone, 68, and a Torah, capital T, Torah, 8451. He revealed all, that's why he was up there for so long. He received all of the Torah and remembered it because Yahweh made it so. And commandments, 4687, which I have written, 3789, so that you may teach them, 3384. Verse 13, and rose up Moshe and his minister, 8334, Yahshua, 3091, and went up Moshe into the mountain of Elohim. Now, Yahshua held back. He would be the successor to Moshe when Moshe was forbidden to go into the promised land because of an act that he will commit later when he smote the rock instead of spoke to it, the second encounter with a rock to bring out water. And Yahshua is spelled the same way and pronounced the same way as the name of our Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach. Same name, same number, Strong's numbers, identical. And it means Yahweh saves. And went up Moshe into the mountain of Elohim. 14, and said he to the elders, wait, 3427, here for us. That means to abide or stay or wait or stand still. In other words, wait here until we return to you. And behold, Aharon and Hur are with you. If any man, 1167, has any matters, 1697. Now, man, 1167 is Baal. And that's a small b. The possessor of matters. That's what it means. Baal means possessor, lord, owner, husband sometimes. If any man possesses any matters to do, let him come to them. He's delegating the authority to Aharon and Hur. You take your matters to them. Don't try to come up to me and bother me when I'm up talking to Yahweh, in other words. Because he's going to zap you. If you go up any further than this, you're dead meat. And went up Moshe into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now, Yahshua didn't go all the way up with him. He hung back. But he was close enough that Moshe could call out to him because he was his helper. He was his number one guy to Moshe. He did fought the battles. He was second in command at that point. And he basically was in training to take the people into the promised land. That's what he was. And I hate to use this analogy, but it's like a vice president to the president. He's second in command. If something happens to the main guy, he's going to step up. Terrible analogy, seeing as what we've got is a so-called president today. A Nachri, racial alien, which we are not to have over us. But we don't obey Yahweh's laws. This nation doesn't. The government. A lot of the people try to. More and more as they learn them. And we're getting a remnant. The remnant is assembling. It's gathering. Verse 16, and the glory, 3519, of Yahweh settled down, 7931, upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it for 6 days. And the seventh day, there's that number seven, the holy number, he, capital H, he, speaking of Yahweh, called to Moshe out of the midst of the cloud. 17, and the appearance, 4758, of the glory of Yahweh was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. That's what they saw. They were down at the bottom looking up, and it looked like it was a volcano going off. But it wasn't. That was just an appearance. That's what he let them see. Verse 18, and went up Moshe into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moshe was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Okay. He was there a while, and they were gonna get nervous and impatient and just weren't gonna wait, even though he told them to wait. But you know how we are. We are a stiff-necked people and rebellious. And even after all the miracles and the appearance of the fire on top of the mountain and all these things and the thunderous voice of Yahweh, they were still of little faith. And the mixed multitude that was with them, remember them? They were some of the instigators of a lot of this nonsense. So, in verse 4, where he built the 12 pillars around an altar, pillars are not standard for an altar area, but he was given permission to put these symbolic 12 pillars up. They were permitted just this once, because you're not supposed to have an altar and have trees planted around it. You're not supposed to put up sacred pillars. That's a pagan thing where they had their sun pillars. That's what the Washington Monument is a sun pillar. The steeple on a church is a sun pillar for sun worship on the Sunday. People don't understand that symbology. There's another pillar, I forget, it's in New Hampshire or someplace. I forget, it's on the internet, I have to look it up. But there's another one with all kinds of inscriptions, and it was brought over from Egypt and erected. Pagan. And we wonder why we are being punished. And it just, you know, why all these things happening? Because we're disobedient. Man, we're getting through to a bunch of people. People are changing slowly. But we've got to witness to other people and tell, hey, look, you wonder why all this stuff is happening here and here and here. This is why. Some of them will wake up, some of them won't. And the ones that won't and say, oh, you're full of it, shake the dust off your feet and walk away. They have to make a free will choice. Otherwise, you can't shove it down their throat, because it's not sincere then. You can't threaten them. They have to love Yahweh and want to obey His commandments. That has to be a free will thing. He does not want puppets. He wants loving children. And we're being added to, just like disciples were added when the disciples preached people were added to the congregation. Well, we're having additions to the congregation. They're coming in ones and twos and tens. We're having an effect. We don't see it because we're scattered out over this huge continent here. And over in the British Isles, people are coming to know. Down in South Africa, people are coming to know. In Germany and Denmark and Sweden and all the Israel nations, people are coming to know and calling upon the name of Yahweh. Not in massive numbers like you've got in the Judeo-Christian churches. But Yahweh is going to call whom he's going to call. And they get to know him by hearing the word. And they hear the word from us, the believers. We tell somebody and show them. And have little Bible studies in our homes. And some of them will reject it. Oh man, you know, that's not what Pastor Leibowitz says at the Church of What's Happening Now. And they'll walk away. That seed will fall on infertile ground, on stony ground. But there's going to be some of these seeds that we plant that are going to be in fertile ground, and they're going to hear. And they're going to start reading the scriptures, and they're going to believe. You know, if each one of us just makes one convert, and then they make one convert. You see how it's going to work? Yahweh's going to call whom he's going to call. And if you're already a believer, he called you. Isn't that a blessing? Wow! He sent his Holy Spirit to you. So you're special. Praise Yahweh in all things. In verse 8 of chapter 24, you can reference Matthew 26, verse 28, Mark 14, verse 24, Luke 22, verse 20, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, and Hebrews chapter 9, verses 19 and 20, and chapter 10, verse 29. Now, in verses 9, 10, 11, they saw a vision of Yahweh. And then they had a feast right there. The word 678 is nobles, means the rootstock or the support of Israel as the longtime leaders of the people. They feasted in joy and awe. I guess, having that vision of Yahweh, they were just overwhelmed and just joyous. In verse 18 of chapter 24, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9, and the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English, chapter 82, verse 22. So we've got 40 verses in chapter 25, and I'm going to get them right now because they're very simple. They don't require a lot of explanation. This is instructions from Yahweh to Moshe on worship, etc., etc., etc. The building the tabernacle in the wilderness. Verse 1 of chapter 25, spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel, so they bring me an offering, 8641, of every man that gives it willingly with his heart you shall take my offerings. Willing. Okay? Love offering. Verse 3. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold, 2091, and silver, 3701, and bronze, 5178. Now they try to translate it as copper or brass. Incorrect. It's bronze. And blue, 8504, and purple, 713, and scarlet, that's 8438 combined with 8144 from a particular type of worm they derived. They're getting dyes for fabric. This is what this is concerning. And fine linen, 8336, and goat's hair, 5795. They would weave fabric out of goat's hair, which was very durable. 5. And skins, 5785, of rams, 352, dyed red, 119, which is the root for Adam. Okay, that is Adamim, 119, dyed red. And skins of, now this is 8476, the meaning of this word is unknown. And they have translated it as badger skins, and that is just an insertion to fill the spot. The word in Hebrew is tekashim. I have not inserted a meaning to this word because we don't know what it means. And I have removed badger skins because it is incorrect. They've added something just to suit their purposes. And I have removed their added, and I've just put the Hebrew word in there, because it's unknown, and it is noted in the chapter notes for this chapter in my translations. And wood of Shittim, 7848, that is acacia wood, but the Hebrew word is Shittim, because they're not quite sure. So where there is any doubt, you're just going to get the Hebrew word. You're not going to get the English opinion of the scribes. I don't do that. If we don't know what it is, then we need to say we don't know what this is. Be honest. Verse 6, olive oil, 8081, for the luminary, 3974. That would refer to the lamps that were going to be in the tabernacle. Spices, 1314, for the oil of anointing, 4888, and for incense, 7004, of spices, 5561. Different word for spice. Stones of onyx, O-N-Y-X, 7718, and stones to set, 4394, in the ephod, 646, and in the breastplate, 2833. Verse 8, and let them make for me a holy place, 4720, so that I may dwell among them. Verse 9, according to all I have shown you, after the pattern, 8403, of the tabernacle, 4908, and the pattern of all the instruments, 3627, of it, so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark, 727, of wood of shittim, 2 cubits, 520, and a half shall be the length of it. And the cubit of the temple is not the 18-inch cubit. This will be the sacred cubit, which is more like 23 inches. Okay, so that's about 46 inches plus a half cubit, 50-some inches shall be the length of it, and a cubit and a half the width of it, and a cubit and a half the height of it. The sacred cubit is different than a standard forearm cubit. It's the same way the shekel of the sanctuary is different weight than the standard shekel for business. Verse 11, you shall overlay, 6823, shall overlay it with pure gold from inside and outside, you shall overlay it. And you shall make upon it a molding, 2213, of gold around it. Verse 12, and you shall cast 3332, 4 rings, 2885, of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners, 6471, of it. And 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. Now, these were for the poles that he's going to talk about next. They couldn't touch this. They had to carry it with poles of wood because they were non-conductive. This Ark of the Covenant is going to be a giant capacitor. And if you touched it and you were grounded, it would fry you with a DC charge. It would kill you as it did Uzzah. Remember it, David, and the ark started to topple, and Uzzah put out his arms and righted it up, and it killed him on the spot. And they tried to reconstruct the ark at a college, and they had to shut it down and disassemble it because it was storing so much electricity, they couldn't control it. They had to disassemble it. That's documented. I have to look that up on the, you can find it on the internet. Look it up. Put in the 4 corners of it and 2 rings on the other side. Verse 13, and you shall make poles, 905, of wood of shittim, and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings by the side of the ark, so that the ark may be carried with them. Verse 15, the poles shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. Verse 16, and you shall put into the ark the testimony, 5715, which I shall give you. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. On the stone. And you shall make a kapareth, 3727. That's a lid, the covering. That's what we call Yom Kippur, the day of the covering over of the sins. And Yahshua Messiah covered them over forever with his perfect blood. You shall make a kapareth of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the width of it. Verse 18. And you shall make 2 cherubim, 3782, cherubs of gold, of beaten work, 4749 shall you make them. in the two ends of the caporeth. You're to do a casting of these cherubim and beat them into shape. Beaten pure gold. 19, and make one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, and on the caporeth you shall make the cherubim on the two ends of it. Verse 20, and the cherubim shall stretch forth 6566, their wings 3671 on high 4605, covering over the caporeth with their wings, their faces one to another toward the caporeth shall be the faces of the cherubim. And you shall put the caporeth upon the ark from above, 4605. The lid goes on the top of it. Okay? And in the ark shall you put the testimony that I shall give you. Going to put the Ten Commandments in there. And I got about 10 minutes here. Verse 22, and there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the caporeth, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, concerning all things which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. That's where Yahweh appeared. And when that pillar of cloud was shown above the tabernacle, nobody went near it. Verse 23, you also shall make a table, 7979, of wood of shittim. 2 cubits shall be the length of it, and 1 cubit the width of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. So you can do the math on those with about a 23-inch sacred cubit. Verse 24, and you shall overlay it with pure gold, no alloys, pure gold, and make for it a molding of gold around it. Verse 25, and you shall make for it a border of a handbreadth around it, and you shall make a golden molding for the border around it. Verse 26, and you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet of it. Now that's a repeat of what they said before. Verse 27, the rings shall be over against the border for places of the poles to carry the table. They're doing rings on the ark. They're doing rings on the table. Verse 28, and you shall make the poles of wood of shittim and overlay them with gold so that the table may be carried with them, same as they did for the ark. This is going to be a big heavy table and they're going to need to carry them with poles. 29, and you shall make the dishes, 7086, of it, and the spoons, 3709, of it, and covers, 7184, of it, and cups, 4518, of it, to cover, 5258, all of it. Of pure gold shall you make them. Verse 30, and you shall set on the table bread 3899 of the presence, 6440, in my presence always, 8548. This was memorial bread for the presence of Yahweh. Verse 31, and you shall make a menorah, 4501, of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the menorah be made, its base 3409, and its branches 7070, its bowls 1375. That's where they poured the oil. It's Knobs 3730, and it's Flowers 6525, decorative work, shall be of the same, and six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the menorah out of one side, and three branches of the menorah out of the other side. There were three on one side, three on the other side, opposite, and one in the center. Three bowls made like almonds, 8246, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knob and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the menorah. And in the menorah shall be four bowls made like almonds with their knobs and their flowers. 35. And there shall be a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the menorah. So that's 2, 4, 6. They repeat that knob under two branches three times. 36. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same. All of it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. Very complicated. 37. And you shall make the seven lamps of it, 5216, and they shall lift up the lamps of it, 5927, so that they may give light to 15 upon all sides before it. And the snuffers, 4457 of it, and the snuff holders, 4289 of it, shall be of pure gold. 39. Of a talent, 3603 of pure gold, he shall make it with all these utensils, 3627. And see that you make them after their pattern which was shown to you in the mountain. And here's the references. Verse 17, reference Hebrews 9:5. Verse 30, reference Leviticus 24:5-8. And verse 40, reference Acts 7:44. And Hebrews 8:5. They had to snuff it because they had to refill the oil. Okay, and I'm going to give you a little history here that's found in the Maccabees. Everybody's heard of Hanukkah, and they think it's a Jewish holiday. When they cleansed the temple, they had defiled it and had busted all the urns of the sacred oil, which had to be made in a certain manner so it was pure. And they only had enough oil for one day. That's all they could find. And when they cleansed the temple and got all the statues out of the temple and all of that and rededicated it, they put that oil in there, and they were frantically trying to make more oil, but it was a process. It was very difficult. It had to be pure. That one day of oil burned for 8 days, and it was a miracle to the children of Israel, not to the Jews, to the children of Israel, from Yahweh, for his temple that they had just cleansed. And it is called the Feast of the Dedication. And that is Chag, Feast, Hanukkah, Dedication. It's in Maccabees. And you will see that Yahshua Messiah, in the book of John chapter 10, observed the Feast of Dedication. It is not of the Jews. It is of Israel, and our Messiah, Redeemer, celebrated it. Look it up. John chapter 10. It's called the Feast of the Dedication, and in Hebrew, that's Chag Hanukkah. So don't say that Hanukkah is a Jewish festival. It is not. It's another thing they're trying to steal from us. Don't let them have it. I celebrate Hanukkah every year because it is an Israelite celebration. It is not a commanded feast. It's a time of joy because of Yahweh's love for us. And it's not Jewish. Little bit of information for you Israelites out there. Another attempted theft by the Jews of our birthright. Don't let them have it. Don't let them have it. It's an Israelite feast. And it's a joyous time. They have stolen and lied and subverted and impersonated. And Pastor Steve's not going to let them have it. You guys do what you want, but I'll have an 8-candle holder in my window every Hanukkah, and I will light them one day at a time to signify the miracle that Yahweh gave Israel, not the Jews. I'm not letting them have anything, nothing. You get nothing from me. My heritage. I'm an Israelite and proud of it. Praise Yahweh for His miracles and His love toward His true children, His chosen people, Israel. A white Western European people and their descendants all over the world. Not the hook-nosed, swarthy, Talmud-using usurers that pretend to be us. So I hope I've opened somebody's eyes about what Hanukkah really is. It's a miracle of Yahweh given to Israel. Don't let them take it. Oh, they hate me, and I love it. We are very, very fortunate that we have the printed word today because years ago, in the Israelite times, they had to go and the priest would read at the temple from a handwritten scroll of the Torah. That's the only way they had to learn it. They didn't, and people didn't have a Torah. They had no way of printing. Everything was written on papyrus with a pen and ink. It was handwritten. Now, they're running Bibles off, Old and New Testament, and the Apocrypha, if you want to get it, I've got it. And a lot of interesting stuff. It's not scripture, it's history, but you need to have a copy of it to find out what was going on between the Testaments. And who was who, and who was Jew, and who betrayed this and did that. And learn, study. It's all great. Well, I'm down to less than a minute here. So I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem. That's peace be to you, Israel. And I'll start on chapter 26 in the morning. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh and thanks for listening. Pastor Steve signing out.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. leads against the foe.